You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Gravity Leadership Podcast, where we explore how to center our lives and our leadership in the love of God, revealed in Jesus Christ.
In the midst of the disruptive cultural shockwaves of the 21st century.
Join us as we learn to take the love of God seriously as the force that holds all of us and everything together. Hey, listeners, it's Ben from the podcast, and I just wanted to say thank you for being part of our community in this way. We're really, really grateful that you tune in and you listen to these podcast episodes and these conversations that we're having, and that you are learning alongside us how to root our lives and our leadership in the love of God revealed in Jesus. It's awesome that you do this with us every week. And so we're grateful, we're thankful, and we'd love to hear from you. And so over the course of the next 4 to 6 weeks, we are inviting you to fill out a brief online survey to let us know a little bit more about you so that we can serve you better, so that you can help to shape the future of what Gravity becomes in this next season. So if you'd like to participate in that, go to gravityleadership.com/survey. gravityleadership.com/survey and fill out the form there. It should only take you a few minutes, and we would greatly appreciate it. Thanks in advance. Hey, I got a question for you guys.
Mm-hmm. I love questions.
Yep, okay. Let her rip.
Sorry, this is kind of a serious question. It's not a jokey question. You guys are maybe ready for a jokey question.
I was.
It's kind of a serious question, okay?
Right.
Okay, let me change my posture.
All right, here it comes. Change your posture. Get into. Do we need to take a few deep breaths? Sorry if you do. Okay. Here's the question. I'll tell you where I got this question here in a little bit. Good job, guys. You guys are doing great with your breath. What have I encountered lately that could be described as a shimmering attraction?
Hmm.
I'm going to let Matt go first.
Sure. Sure. I wasn't going to share this, but because the question was asked, now I have to be honest, my torso when I get out of the shower. You know, I'm right there in the bathroom and dry off, and then I get ready, and it's hard to describe what I feel other than a shimmering attraction. How
now,
about you, Christy?
Are you? I like that you made this into a joke, Matt.
But, D-minus, Matt.
Are you saying... yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's, wait a second. Yeah.
I don't... Yeah, wait.
You can't use the words shimmering attraction and think that I'm not going to make a joke about it. This is on you, Ben Sternke, not me.
No.
Okay,
this,
Ben, how...
I agree with Christy. D-minus.
How do you... How would you answer? Like, I'm having a hard time even knowing
okay, wait, I'll try
what you're really asking.
So here's the context. I know. I get it.
I'm going to take my sanctification medicine right here. You see it?
Okay.
And I will try to answer this question again in the spirit you're asking. So please ask it again.
How quickly does that sanctification medicine work?
Well, it works. It takes like 30 to 60 minutes if you swallow it, but if you crush it and snort it, instantaneously. So that's what I'm going to do.
All right. Just mute yourself while you're snorting.
All right. I'll be right back.
For our listeners. Okay.
Holy cow.
All right. A little context. Matt's going to take his medicine, Christy, for some context. These are questions that friends of ours, Dave and Beth Borum, they've been on the podcast. They develop these little cards, and they're spiritual directors, and so they develop these little cards called examen questions, examen cues, and they're basically just like questions you can ask that are sort of spiritual direction questions. And so, shimmering attraction is one of the phrases that they use in their book to describe just different. We would call it like a certain kind of kairos. Be like, oh, that's, I'm really interested in this right now. Or this is really, I keep feeling attracted to this right now. So I can share something. When I read this question, I was like, oh, you know what is something that I've noticed about myself lately?
Yeah.
Shimmering attraction is birds. Like I love just they come, we've got a couple feeders, you know, on windows outside the house. And I just like watch them. I'm just like, wow, look at those things. They are fascinating. And like we go on a walk with my dog and my dog tries to chase them. And I'm always like interested. I'm like, I wonder what kind of bird that is. And I take pictures of them with my little app and I try to figure out what kind of birds they are. So birds are like a shimmering attraction for me right now. I don't know why, but I'm like, oh, look at, there's another bird. That's a pretty good bird.
I'm really trying hard to be serious because all I can think about is my father-in-law was like a bird watcher.
Yeah.
And he was like obsessed with it. Like
shimmering attraction.
I know, but like I like paralleled that with like, you know, being 65 or something. Mm-hmm. Like
I'm now an old you're, soul.
Now you see into Ben's soul. This is, he's got grandpa energy and he comes by it honestly.
You guys, opposites attract. This is why you guys are friends. Mm-hmm. Getting out of the shower and birds.
Birds, yep. Yeah.
My torso.
Now, I did want to ask about your torso, Matt.
let it rip.
After you shower, before you dry off, your torso, like your whole body might be shimmering because it's just wet.
Yep.
Now, is that the reason it was shimmering to you? Mm. I mean, it's a little bit, you know, or... I guess
the when I heard shimmering, I heard in my mind translated that to glistening.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I think that's what happened.
Because I
get to pick the question next time, friends. I get to pick.
So I would,
it will not include things like shimmering.
I would probably say then, just to redo my answer, that out of the shower, my torso is a glistening attraction. But once I dry it off and make sure I'm fully lotioned, then it's shimmering.
Okay. Yeah. D plus, but still.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't, you did not go up a grade, man.
Didn't even get a C minus. Okay, so a glistening attraction for me, I think.
You said glistening. Shimmering.
Glistening
attraction.
A shimmering attraction for me would be gardening, like my plants. I'm growing plants.
Yeah.
And we've grown plants and gardened for a while, but we end up with like 643 cherry tomatoes and we only need like 20 of them. And so, because tomatoes propagate like
salsa.
Well, yes. So thank you for bringing up salsa. So I love peppers and I love different kinds of peppers. And a friend of mine is an English professor at a college here in Indianapolis. And he was doing a summer project research grant he got. And he basically had, I don't know, dozens and dozens of very bespoke, unique pepper plants that he had started from seeds and was looking to give away. So I've got like 8 pepper plants, never heard of these peppers before. Like some of them sound like viruses from like places that you can't pronounce. Like it's H1N1.
COVID pepper.
Like H1N1 pepper.
H1N1.
Like some of them are like letters and numbers combined.
COVID? Is one of them a COVID pepper?
Yeah, this is where it started
stay away
right
from
here.
That one.
Yep, it was engineered in a lab. And so all that to say, I'm super, I water them every day. I go and look at them.
Do you sing to them?
No, I do talk to them though. Do tell
in gentle
them
tones?
How much I believe in them and how much, how delicious they're
how
going
good
to
they're doing.
At some point I will take your fruit and I'll rip it from your body, and I will consume.
There's probably a nicer way to say that.
This is not going to end well for you, more... pepper plant.
This is maybe why you're having trouble growing the peppers.
No, they seem to like it. They seem to like the rough stuff. Okay. So far, Miracle-Gro, water, sunlight, and they're
and threats.
Listen here.
Listen here, buddy.
How about for you? What is your glistening attractiveness? Wait, shimmering attraction.
Shimmering attraction.
Okay, here's what I'm noticing. That's what I'm going to say. Actually, it has to do with your wife, Matt.
Okay, yeah, let's hear it.
Okay, so you guys work at our house, and your wife was amazing. She's like really good at organizing. Oh, yeah. And
she's got
like
a whole business
spatially
about that.
I know. She's spatially seeing things. And so I was telling her about my pantry, and I don't really know how to spatially organize it. And so she did. She went to Target. She bought me these bins. We took everything out. We wiped it all out. We organized it all. It's beautiful. Hmm. Well, now that she's gone, you guys, I don't know, you came here like a month ago. Like, I've got this new thing that I really enjoy that I'm like, okay, I'm going to like go through this linen closet and I'm going to go through this like drawer in my kitchen and I'm going to organize it. And honestly, it's life-giving to me.
That's great.
I think it's like the three in me likes to have something to accomplish.
Oh, yeah.
And since I'm not working, it's like, okay, what are we going to do today? Ooh, we're going to do this. Nice. But I think it also... I like to see transformation.
Yeah.
I know that sounds, and I just love the before and after pictures of this is cool. My garage before all junked up, and here's my garage after all organized. So I'm noticing that.
That's cool, Christine.
Incredible.
I'm glad you shared that. Yeah.
Yep. That's incredible.
I think that qualifies. B plus.
Oh, thank you.
What?
Just kidding.
Thank you.
You're not supposed to grade spiritual direction, guys.
I need this. Christy and I were working on this project together, so I believe, Christy, we got a C+ together.
Yeah, it was a group project. You add in my birds.
Group projects.
I think we're at a solid A- with the birds.
All right, well, good question, Ben.
Yeah, I'll put a link to this in the show notes. If you guys want to check out these cards and support our friends, Dave and Beth, in their ministry at Fall Creek Abbey. Well, they're good cards. They're great for like date nights if you want to like talk spiritual stuff with your spouse on a date night. It's kind of fun.
Good cards and better people.
Good cards. Oh, they're great. They're so good. Yeah. If you can come out to Indianapolis and do a retreat, meet up with Matt and I, and stay at Fall Creek Abbey.
Oh yeah,
do it.
That's
all right.
Or come to Colorado and I'll create a retreat for you.
Yeah.
And totally. You can hang out with me.
Christy's
I always feel left out.
She totally will.
I know. Yeah. I totally feel left out. So if you want to come to Colorado, you can stay in my newly renovated basement.
You can.
And I will create a retreat for you.
Yes. I literally just invited myself over on this vacation.
You're coming.
That I'm coming, coming on.
So fun.
Very soon.
One week
from today. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
From when we're recording this.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, guys, can you believe it's July and we're halfway done with the year, over halfway done with the year 2022, the year of our Lord?
No.
Crazy.
I just, no comment. I just was thinking about that. It was kind of blowing my mind today.
Yes.
But we have another episode for you, beloved listeners, in our podcast series on our forthcoming book, Having the Mind of Christ. Hmm. It is due out July 26, 2022. It's 8 axioms that name the paradigm shifts, a few significant paradigm shifts that can help us reconstruct a more resilient faith from the rubble of, deconstruction and everything else that's sort of disrupted our ability to be Christians in the past few years. You can still join our launch team if you would like, gravityleadership.com/launch. You can get a free advanced PDF of the book, read along with us, join discussions, recommend it to friends, review it online, et cetera, et cetera. And as part of that, you can also do this without joining the launch team, but you can pre-order the book from IVP. And if you use the coupon code GRAVITY, you can get 30% off with free U.S. shipping.
Who doesn't like that?
That's coupon code GRAVITY. link to that in the show notes. We'd also love to hear from you during this series. If you want to leave your questions and reflections, go to gravityleadership.com/message and click the start recording button. You can actually leave us a voice message and we'll answer your question on a future episode. Yeah. It'd be so fun.
Yeah.
So we're talking about axiom, which one are we introducing today?
Four, right?
Two.
Two.
We're not quite there. It's axiom two. God is always present and at work. So it's great, great conversations that we're having with among ourselves, plus Gino.
Yeah. Chime in. Let us know if you have other thoughts or questions or even other ways of thinking about these things. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. Yeah, we love it.
So, all right.
Should we dive in?
Let her rip.
Let's do it.
Here we go.
Here we are talking about Axiom 2 today on the Gravity Leadership Podcast. I'm joined by the huge Christy Pinley.
Hey, hey.
And Ben Sternke.
Hey. Huge. Are we the huge?
Yeah, the huge. And
the huge,
and
then the huge crew?
And then the spesh would be Gino Curcaruto, special guest.
This is a very,
hey guys,
a very cool nice way to refer to everybody.
Well, this is how the millennials do it. They don't waste. They don't waste consonants. If you don't need it,
millennials, huh?
You don't waste it. Yeah. This is what I'm told. Mm-hmm. Anywho, so we're going to talk about Axiom 2, and this is in prep for the release of our book. And we thought the format, again, just to remind you, is Gino and Christy have been interacting with these axioms for years and have used them, discipling people and coaching people. And so we're going to get some of their thoughts on them rather than Ben, you and I just regurgitating what we wrote in the book. So axiom two is God is always present and at work. This axiom is meant to, again, name a paradigm that Jesus operated in, an assumption, a grounding assumption he made about reality, that we don't live in a two-story universe where God sits up somewhere and we're down here and God has to find a way to get here, but that creation is shot through with the presence of God. And Jesus bears witness to this in his ministry, and then he promises that one of the endearing realities of new creation will be that God is always with us. Jesus himself called Emmanuel, God with us. So this axiom is about learning to see the world full of God's presence, not only God present out there, but God present with us as well. So God doesn't show up, but we wake up to the fact that creation is essentially temple for the Lord. So that's axiom two. And you know, Gino and Christy, how has this axiom been helpful or been or proven true for you? Maybe share, like, how did this either confirm something or challenge something for you when you first interacted with it?
Yeah, I think that, you know, unfortunately, maybe I grew up in a church where interacting with God, believing God's presence was pretty compartmentalized. We went to church on Sunday morning. That's when we kind of entered into God's presence to worship type mentality. But to understand that really being a follower of Jesus is not just a piece of the pie, and that it involves all of life. It involves parenting. It involves argument with my husband. It involves, you know, I'm on a run and I see a baby deer. It involves like all of these things. And it makes it so much more alive. And are you laughing about the baby deer?
I'm laughing about the baby deer because that would be the creature that you see on a run.
Yeah.
Well, Christy, you darling, would see a baby you guys. Deer.
I would see like a wild boar. Oh, yeah. No, it's
great. I definitely see different creatures in Philly on that.
I know, right? It's like a Disney movie. It's a Disney movie.
Man. Well, yeah. I just think even this week, I was on a date with my husband. You guys, I'm sure you guys do this with your wives, but you ever go on a date and then it isn't really a date anymore, and all of a sudden it becomes kind of either a business meeting or like an argument because you have to talk about things, and then it just happens. Mm-hmm. I hate it when that happens, y'all. I
never.
Hate... Yeah. Well, of course, never happened. Well, okay. Anyway, that happened to Paul and I.
Meeting. Just a business meeting.
We're like at this really nice place, the Broadmoor, a big old hotel. We had a gift card. Oh, yeah. We're outside eating, and I kind of needed to bring up something because he was going on another trip, and I'm like, we got to talk about this. And then it like was this kind of conflict. And in the midst of it, I was noticing some things in my own heart of just, I'm being pretty judgmental. I'm like kind of putting Paul in a box and not believing the best and all of these things. And ultimately, in the middle of our argument, he said, Christy, I believe your heart. And it was like, I'm probably not articulating it well, but it was like Jesus with skin on in what he was naming, because I was actually not at that moment having a pure heart. And there came some really good conviction, and right away I was like, babe, I'm so sorry. Let me name what I'm really sorry for. And so all this to say, God was active and present in an argument with my husband, like outside at a restaurant. And so it's not a book. It's not just going to church on Sunday morning where we experience this. It's every day, all day, in the mundane, in the hard, in the transitions, in it all. He's active and present.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. I would like to share something with you that I would like some help figuring out how I'm articulating this, because I think it's present in the book. But what this axiom has done for me as I look back on and working through it and teaching this and sharing in community with others is I think that this has freed me up to reckon with my feelings in a way that I was never able to do before. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because the formation that I had prior was my feelings about a situation ought to be directly related to how God feels about a situation.
Yeah.
And how I feel about a situation is also telling me how God feels about a situation. So let's make that more concrete, right? So something that I perceive as negative and painful is probably due to God not liking me because of something I've done wrong, or me maybe not understanding how what is happening is actually good for me. And so my feelings become less important, only to the point that they indicate, how is God judging me in this situation?
Yeah.
But if so, I don't know if you want to reflect on that or if that's making sense. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. I do want to reflect on that, Gino, because I resonate strongly with, I think, where you're going with this, that God being present and at work means that I can just pay attention to things as they are. And that I didn't realize that I was jumping to conclusions about what things mean.
Yeah.
Right. Like bad feelings, bad things happening in my life. Oh, there's a lesson. Or like that shouldn't bother me as much as it does, or you know what I mean, like those kinds of things. I had a whole series of pre-assessments, judgments about what things mean, what things should be. I'm an Enneagram one, so there's a lot of shoulds involved in the way that my mind works. And so there was a lot of shoulds about like, well, I shouldn't be sad about this because it's a good thing, or. If I'm sad about something or I'm angry about, especially if I'm angry, about something, it means like the first and most important thing is to stop being angry about that and, you know, get your mind right. So that you can figure out what God's doing. But so it was a really big shift for me to realize that, oh, God might be at work in my anger. Mm-hmm. Like it might actually be, and not necessarily it's good all the time or that it's bad all the time. It just is. And it's there for a reason. And God's at work in the midst of that. God's present in the midst of that. I don't know. That's my reflection on what you're saying. Yeah. Is that where you're going with this, Gino?
That's where I'm going with this. I think that was said better than I did. So I appreciate you reflecting that.
Yeah. Gino, do you find yourself more aware of your emotions now as you practice this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Not only that, but I think what I would say that and I notice that there's space between my response to my emotions and my noticing my emotions. And that space, whatever that is, it feels like 3 to 4 weeks, but it's probably not that long. You know, it's probably a split second. Yeah. Is the distance needed and necessary to keep me from hurting people often when I'm angry and I don't need to respond to my anger? I can say to myself, why are you angry? Mm-hmm. You know, instead of saying you shouldn't be angry, which doesn't actually help me become less angry.
Right.
And then even another way that this is helpful is if God is always present and at work, then our feelings are telling us something. They might not be telling us something particularly about the work that God is doing in that moment. It might be from some other actor in the scenario.
Right. Right.
But we can affirm that having feelings is an okay thing. Just yeah. last night, some really good friends in our neighborhood. There was a really major tragedy in our neighborhood last night. I noticed a helicopter flying overhead, and a friend of ours texted us and said we were walking our dog and we just saw a young lady get hit and killed by a car. Mm-hmm. And then the people mm-hmm. took off. So they were searching for the car. That was the helicopter. So they witnessed someone die, and wow. which is tragic. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult. And they were articulating that this is just horrific and it's horrible. And in that moment, I had the wherewithal, I think, to say, hey, what you're feeling is okay. It's not the response isn't God's in control. Don't worry about what you just saw. Right. It's not that right. important. It's we can tend to these feelings of I may never unsee this, yeah. you know, and, yeah. And I think that's important. I think that's yeah. really helpful work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about the, what am I trying to say here? The unintended, there it is. The unintended work that some of those phrases do. God is in control, mm. right? It's like, well, okay. Mm-hmm. There's a way in which I could understand how that's true, right? That God is
yes.
sovereign and, you know, yeah, I like saying God is present at work more than God is in control. But like God is in control, oftentimes underneath the surface, the work that does is a correcting or a judging work, right? It's mm-hmm. like, don't be sad. Stop being right. angry. You know, like stop that negative feeling because God's in control. If you really believe that, you wouldn't feel this way. But I think it's yeah. it's a completely different thing to do what you did is to affirm, yes, like bad things should feel bad. And mm-hmm. God is at work in the midst of us responding to whatever life throws at us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that, Gino, touches on the second question I wanted to hear from both you and Christy, which is, I think on our best days or, you know, when the worship band fires up the Wurlitzer, you know, it's easy to sense God's presence or God's activity. But there's other situations that are harder for us to, for it to occur to us or for us to live as though it's true. And I wonder, for each of you, where is it most difficult right now? You know, you kind of mentioned your feelings. Christy, you kind of mentioned, like, I'm having this argument on date night. Way to go. Way to ruin date night. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. But God even working there. But I'm curious, like, where is it hard for you to see this or live with this? Do you struggle with it anywhere? And where is, and why?
Yeah.
Well, I think the honest answer is yes. I struggle. Quite a bit. I would say that the areas where I notice that the doubt there, it's around pain. It's around mm-hmm. not physical pain, but emotional pain, pain of loss, relationships. My wife and I are of the age where we're now processing and working through. Our parents are kind of losing their health and moving them into hospice mm-hmm. and other, and these things bring up not just the questions of like, why is this happening? But how is God present and at work in this? Mm-hmm. And so I think those areas of pain are the hardest ones for me.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. This is Dave, and I'm a pastor and church planner in Fort Worth, Texas. I've been through a Gravity Leadership cohort, and here's the deal. If you're looking for real, and I mean real, tangible transformation that is centered in Christ and Christ's love, and a committed community to walk with you, or if you're wondering how to lead people in a way that produces that sort of change, then check out a Gravity Leadership cohort. Like I said, I'm a pastor and a church planner, and it was perfect for me. If you enjoy the podcast and conversations here, you'll love what happens in Gravity Leadership Academy.
Specifically speaking, I struggle to see this and believe that God is working when hearts are hard. So like if I'm in a conflict with somebody and I see, like, I don't know, that it just doesn't seem like they're actually like working to like reconcile or they have a hard heart, I just kind of give up and think, well, God's not working there. And he's not going to work. Mm. And so I think that's really hard. I actually just recently, this was specifically challenged me just a few weeks ago. I had a conflict with somebody probably 10 years ago. And this woman asked me to meet for coffee like 2 weeks ago. And I was like, I wonder what this is about. And so, and it wasn't like a big conflict. It was a small conflict. And I met her for coffee. And 10 years later, she looked me in the eye and was like, Christy, I was wrong and I'm sorry, and went on to apologize. Mm-hmm. And what I had thought was a hard heart, and there's no way that there's like ever God's working there. God had been at work in her life, and I just didn't get to see that until 10 years later. Yeah. And so I just think that's a hard place for me to kind of believe that and see that. But then I got this beautiful glimpse of it 2 weeks ago.
That's great, Christine.
Yeah. So sometimes we lack perspective to fully understand what God's doing or how God's at work, and that inhibits sometimes our ability to trust it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think too, the other thing that I'm thinking about is, as y'all reflect on this, is something that I've encountered in my own life, but also in like people that I've walked with in discipleship. That have walked through hard things. And it's this, that I think oftentimes we don't realize it, but we have a preconceived notion about what it would look like if God was to be here and if God was to be working. Then, you know, if God was at work here, this person would be open. You know, they wouldn't have a hard heart. If God was at work here, there'd be enough money or there'd be a job prospect. If God was at work here, here's what it would mean. It would mean we have enough. It would mean that I feel significant. It would, you know, and when that is lacking, we think we sort of draw this direct line to God and say, well, that means that, well, I can't trust God to be at work here. And I found like it's, I don't know, it almost feels like it's a paradigm shift, I guess, is what it is. Is in approaching moments like those, instead of, it's helpful to just name, what is it that I want God to be doing here? And what is it that I would expect to see if God was present and working? And just realizing that that's an assumption, and just for a moment, like creating some distance between my expectation of what God should be doing and my assumption that God isn't doing anything because he's not doing that. And just putting some distance there and saying, okay, what if God really was present and really was working here in this situation? What if I changed my prayer to, God, please do X, Y, and Z? What if I changed it to, God, show me how you're at work in the midst of this situation? Would that change anything for me as I enter into these painful, difficult, hard-hearted, you know, like all of the different ways, all the different places where it's difficult for us to believe this. And I found it really helps me, at least, to just enter into those hard things with a little less anxiety, because now I'm a little bit more curious. I'm like, I wonder how God is at work. If I'm going to believe this, okay, let's just settle in. And now my eyes are open for maybe something that I wasn't expecting, because I had my eyes set on this thing, this very specific set of circumstances that would prove to me that God was present and working.
That's good. Yeah. It's actually naming something for me where I expect God to be how I am. Right. And that's not
right.
Like, it's not how he works. He's God and I'm not. And so maybe just naming that and being able to be honest in my prayer of, God, I am expecting you to do this, and show me. I think that's a beautiful prayer. Show me how you're at work. Is a good perspective to have.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I think for me, the hardest place to sense God being at work is just place of evil or tragedy, you know, places like a person losing their faith because their pastor was abusive, you know, or a little girl dying of cancer.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Those are the space. I mean, I think the problem of evil is a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no quick, if it was a quick, easy answer, we would have probably figured it out by now.
Yeah. But I think it reveals, at least for me, I have assumptions about how God will be present and what God will be doing. And so I tend to then make demands They're implicit, you know, they're very gentle demands, but they are demands on God.
Right. Right.
Right? Yeah. Here's what you'd be doing right now. Mm-hmm. If you were here, rather than trusting God's there, even when God isn't doing what I want God to be doing.
Yeah.
And so that's where I've struggled the most.
Yeah, I think that's good. And it's this relates a little bit. So a lot of these axioms overlap, as you'll discover as you read through the book or as you follow us on this podcast series. And I think our exercise in the book for one of the upcoming axioms, I think it's God cares about all of it more than we do. This overlaps really similarly to our discussion here. And I think one of the exercises is to sort of tell God off in essence. Like, it's using the imprecatory Psalms, it's using the Psalms of lament and complaint to essentially like get all of that on the table and say, God, here's how I have a list of requests, you know, and you're not doing any of them. And I can't for the life of me figure out why, you know, like we haven't strayed from your commands. You know what I mean? Like, the Psalms are full of these complaints. The story of the death of Lazarus, Mary and Martha, both bring Jesus the same complaint. If you had been here, like, my brother would not have died. That's a complaint. It's saying, why were you so slow? What were you doing? Why didn't you get here? What is going on? And the witness of the scriptures is univocal that God welcomes. He welcomes this kind of interaction. He's happy for us to bring him all the rage, you know, everything we've got. And I think that answers, we've got a question. Part of our book club is following along in the recordings of these podcast episodes. So join our book club if you want to follow along as we record these. But Chris asks this, how do you take that stance of being open to God when he isn't working in the way you expect? Chris shares that he finds himself frustrated and disappointed when God's actions don't match my expectations. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of it, Chris. Part of it is being open to just letting God have it and knowing that that's one way that I can trust that God's at work, is just act like God's there, and talk to him as if he's there and not doing what you expect. That's a way into it for me.
Yeah. This is why, you know, not to go on a rant, but this is why theologies that tell you you can't be angry with God are so harmful.
Yeah.
You end up bypassing your emotions, you end up gaslighting yourself, and you end up not being able to enact the faith we see in the scriptures.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't read for 20 minutes and not find somebody mad at God in scripture.
Yeah. Come on. You stand over the Psalms as like,
it's a common,
I know better how to relate
human
to
experience.
God.
So part of this is I think as Christians, we've got a jacked up relationship with our feelings, especially bad feelings. Mm-hmm. But part of reclaiming them is to simply feel them and to feel them at God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he can handle it.
God's a big God.
Yeah.
He's got his big God pants on.
You know? Yeah, there's so much here too. I think, you know, one of the reasons I think that we automatically don't think we're supposed to bring God those kinds of big emotions is because we do have a God that's been shaped by the authority figures in our lives who most of them can't handle that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right? Most of our authority figures are too fragile to handle someone just saying, this is my complaint. And, you know, what are you doing? I don't get this at all. Mm-hmm. And I'm angry with you. Like, that gets people fired, kicked out of the church.
Yeah, some
like,
of us,
that is a big no-no. And I think we transfer that to God really easily.
Some of us were raised with parents who told us not to cry.
Yeah.
You know, don't you cry, right? Some of us were raised with parents who could not handle if we had a moment of impatience or frustration. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? And we learn to shut down and hide. And that just doesn't work. Eventually, that'll stop working in your spiritual life. Yep. And that's a severe mercy when that stops working.
Yeah. It's grace.
Yeah. It's grace.
Go
ahead, Christy.
I was going to share real quickly. One of my biggest kairoses in Gravity World, we kind of talk about these moments when God's breaking in and opening up our eyes. And I was in a meeting, and it was not going well. And there's too much information to kind of go into it. But I got into my Jeep and I started driving home. It was about a 20-minute drive. And I was very angry. And anger is like a scary emotion for me. I don't like to feel angry. I want to hide it. I want to minimize it. I don't want to express it. And as I'm driving down the highway, I hit the steering wheel like as hard as I could. And I yelled, "Fix it," just to God. And then I was like, yeah, it unleashed this wow. emotion. And for 20 minutes on my drive home, I probably said, "Fix it," or screamed, "Fix it," and hit my steering wheel 100 times. And by the time I got home, I'm like sobbing. Like, I just want you, God, to fix it. And in his truth, like, he didn't say, "I'm fixing it." He didn't say, like, "Don't worry." He didn't say, "Don't be angry." Like, I think the truth I needed to marinate in was, "I am with you in this." And there was like real, like, oh, I'm going to get cry, teary, in that moment of he is with me in these big emotions and I'm not alone. And it was very powerful of, okay, God, you are active and present even in this.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. I think a big part of how God is present and at work in every situation, even when God is not doing the things that we would want or expect, part of the way that God is present in every situation is that God witnesses the reality of our humanity. And that, like, that does, like, it sometimes doesn't sound like much, but that is so much.
Yeah.
It's so much for you, Christy, to have a witness, to know that your rage in the car at this situation that you can't fix, to know that God sees it and honors it and says there's a reason you're angry and it's appropriate to be angry about this. Like, that's so much. I don't want to say it's everything because it's not quite everything, but it's more than 50%. It's a lot of what we need, right? We just need a witness. We need somebody to look at us and say, "I see you." And and God functions in that way. Like, if we can really learn to live into this axiom, we still do need it with skin on, right? We need to do this for each other. It's part of how God is present and at work in our lives, is through one another. But God also transcends the work that we can do for one another, as humans and as well. So I think that's really huge, Christy, and I'm thankful that you shared that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we've kind of been talking around this, but I'm curious as to, like, questions that you still have about this. You know, what would you be interested in exploring more as you think about God being always present at work that maybe this chapter just didn't cover?
Yeah, well, one thing I thought of was, and maybe you can help me articulate this, but being in the Christian world, like being in the church world, so to speak, so often I hear people wanting to have these cliches, these things to tell people that God is working in the midst of a hard situation that does not feel helpful, does not feel kind, does not feel loving. And I wonder if maybe just naming that for people, of God being present and at work, doesn't mean that I'm like saying to somebody who just had a miscarriage, "Well, at least you have three other kids here." You know, like stupid things like that.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
You know, somebody dies by suicide.
God is good all the time and all the time.
Right.
God is good.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I we're like, Christians are really bad at that. Really bad at that.
Mm-hmm.
And because they want to put a bow on it, or like, you know, someone dies and he's in a better place. And you're like, "Holy cow, there's a hole in my heart."
Yeah.
You know, like, let's just be honest about that. So I just wonder if there's like, maybe Matt and Ben, you can just speak to that for a second, of when you're saying God is present at work, you're not flippantly saying that at a funeral. Do you know what I'm saying here?
Yeah,
totally.
That's good.
Totally know really what you're good. Saying. Yeah, that's a really good, I think it's a really good observation that these axioms probably could be misused, right? As little spiritual band-aids that we use to avoid pain or avoid uncomfortable situations when in fact they are meant to help us into those things. I was even, you know, talking before about the contrast between God is in control and God is always present and at work, but they could be used in the same way. So yeah, I think that's, you know, that's my only reflection, I guess, is just that we'd want to guard against that.
Yeah.
Not using these phrases in that kind of trite way.
Yeah. I think the difference between God is present and at work and God is in control is really important.
That's true too. Yeah.
So one of the reasons why we kind of name these axioms one at a time and walk through them is that God is sovereign, and God is sovereign in love. There's a lot of times God doesn't get what God wants. Just read the Gospels and notice how many times people do things Jesus doesn't want them to do. Mm. And in his love, he refuses to control them. So God's presence and work in their life respects their agency,
yeah,
their volition, their choices. Now notice how many years that God allows Israel to make poor choices. Poor choices, over and over and over. And so I think the phrase God is in control is about comforting us. Mm-hmm. Like I think we want a God who never gets what he doesn't want. And you can have that God. It's just not the God revealed in Jesus. You can have that God, but that's not the God revealed in Jesus. So I think once we reckon with that, that somehow God holds everything together in sovereign love, and sovereign love has room for people to make real choices that have real consequences. Mm-hmm. We're less quick in our anxiety to hang trite phrases on tragic circumstances.
Yeah.
Right?
That's well said.
And I think that it just gives you there's a sobriety in wrapping everything up, explaining everything exhaustively, so this axiom then is meant to open up and expand our consciousness to wonder. Mm-hmm. God is present and at work in sovereign love here. And I have no idea how. And I want to discover that, you know,
right.
I want to find
yeah.
how that is. And so that's, for me, that rescues me, Christy, from, you know, just shoving bumper stickers down people's throat when they're hurting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, or when they've lost their faith or when they are mad, et cetera.
Yeah.
That's really good. I think, I don't know if these are questions or just things that I want to dig in more with you and others is the problem of evil, which I think you do bring up and it, how it just is reflected in this recent discussion right here, how important that is that, you know, is it that the God that we want, the one that's in control, when you say that we can have that God, it's just not the one revealed in Jesus. That might be the same God we're looking for when we have our expectations of how God should be showing up, you know, in our lives.
Yes, exactly.
And so maybe that speaks to that. And so similarly, saying that God is here, he's with us in this pain, to the degree that that's not sufficient is maybe to the degree that we want a different kind of God. And I know that's difficult to say, and I'm not going to enter into a difficult situation and critique someone, but I am aware of that. And I'm also aware that in my own life, times when people have said, like, God, it sees you, he's here with you, and how meaningful that has been unexpectedly.
Yeah.
That I see that there's transformation. Yeah. So what I'd like to see more, I'd love to have more curated stories of people who navigate their feelings while remaining anchored in the presence of God in the midst of that, you know, that are maybe feeling all the feels and staying to this presence as sufficient. And so I'm thankful for Christy sharing that story, pounding on the steering wheel. That's gonna change me. That expands my imagination. That helps me deeply.
Yeah,
it's really good, Gino.
You know what I thought of, Gino, as you shared that reflection? So I mentioned the problem of evil is a real problem, but we've talked about a second problem of evil here, And I want to talk about this without eclipsing or marginalizing or minimalizing, you know, that death and destruction and evil happening under the watchful eyes of a loving God is a problem. Okay? That's a problem. The other problem, though, is that we don't want to face the evil in ourselves, the evil around us. Mm-hmm. We have a problem with evil.
Yeah.
And so I guess this isn't an answer to the problem of evil, but I would love to follow Jesus into weeping at tombs and crying over a city. Mm-hmm. And get in touch with actually lamenting evil, like lament, grief, remorse. Mm-hmm. And then see how that changes, A, how I sense God's presence and activity in evil, and B, how I perceive evil.
Yeah.
I think I would become, so I'm committed to this way of life, but I think in lament, in telling the truth with our bodies about evil, with God, right? I think we become different kinds of people who can contain and carry the sadness and pain and who can perceive evil differently.
Yeah.
And it changes, I think, how we, quote, answer the question. Yeah. The person who taught me this, there's a beautiful book called Lament for a Son by Nicholas Wolterstorff, who is a professor of hermeneutics whose son, spoiler alert, when he was in his 20s, went mountaineering and died in the mountains. And Nicholas wrote this book to process and metabolize that pain. And the book is a brilliant reflection on evil, sadness, and grief. And it unlocked things for me. You know, I was able to cry with Wolterstorff as I read his book. And I was sharing in his tears, but then his tears also drew out tears I needed to cry. I needed, those tears needed to come out of me.
Yeah.
And that's an example of what I'm talking about. I think we see evil differently when we tell the truth about it with our bodies.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it opens us up to seeing how God is present and at work. I think greater vistas of that faith open up to us, but it feels like a leap a little bit sometimes, right? Because it's like, well, how will that change? And what's going to happen exactly? And what's the answer? And but we don't get it on this side of the tears. We don't get it on this side of the lament. We get it as we move through it. But to move through it, we have to trust that God is present in this and with us and working. I think that's the other, you know, the other part of this axiom is that God is present, yes, but working as well. I think the problem of evil is a problem because we trust that God is working and that God is good. And so, you know, how does God work out his good purposes in the midst of human freedom and evil spiritual forces, et cetera, et cetera? Like, that's the mystery that we sort of like move into, because we do trust that, you know, God does have a telos, right? There's a goal in mind.
Yes.
God just isn't saying, yeah, it sucks, man. It's really hard and I'm with you. Like, it's not just that. That's good. And that's we need that. But we also need to know that God is moving history in a direction and bringing about goodness in the world.
Yeah.
We need to believe that as well.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Christy.
Yeah.
You guys. Thanks, Gino.
So fun. This is so fun.
Yeah.
Let's do this every week.
Like another hour.
Is that something? I know.
We do.
Well, we can get on to our next axiom. That'll be our next hour. So.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I just want to maybe end with is that these axioms then aren't meant to be things we try harder to believe more, but they're what ifs. They're maybe God is present at work here. Just try that on and see what changes. Mm-hmm. See what that unlocks. So it's much more of a surrender, a consent, an openness than a constricting, gripping, trying, you know, gritting your teeth. And so, and that's nowhere seen more starkly and fully than when we're staring the evil of the world in the face. believing God's present and at work. So thanks for your presence here, Christy and Gino.
And your work.
And your work. And
thanks. I get it.
Thank you guys. Yeah.
And we'll circle back around to Axiom 3 next time.
Sounds good.
Well, once again, we did it.
We did it. Those conversations are so much fun, guys. I'm having the best time.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're doing
just
it.
Just the best. Yeah. I'm glad too.
Yeah.
Glad.
And I'm really deeply grateful, Christy, for just the fact that you're giving this so much care and carefulness, you know? Mm-hmm. So, thank you.
Thanks for inviting me in.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yep. Listeners, just a couple reminders about how you can get the book. You can pre-order it at anywhere books are sold, really. But if you pre-order through IVP, you can use the coupon code GRAVITY to get 30% off of free U.S. shipping. You can still join our launch team, gravityleadership.com/launch, and you can leave us a message or a question if you would like by going to gravityleadership.com/message and click the Start Recording button, and we'll answer your question on a future episode.
Yeah. Okay, before we go, real quick, guys, what did the Icelandic dog say?
I don't know.
Bjork, Bjork!
I was ready with my soundboard. How about this? Is that better?
Oh, that makes the inside little Matt very happy.
Yeah, oh, very happy. Everybody's happy with me.
My inner...
Or that one right there. At least the band guys.
Oh, good. I forgot you had those sound effects. All right. Until next time, everybody.
Until next time.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Gravity Leadership Podcast. If you're finding it helpful or enjoyable, we'd love it if you'd tell your friends about it.
Ratings and reviews online also help others find the podcast. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And you can join our Gravity community online for free at gravityleadership.com/join.
You'll get our latest content delivered straight to your inbox, as well as our email most Fridays with curated links to articles we find interesting and helpful. To join us, go to gravityleadership.com/join.
Our podcast is produced by Ben Sternke and Matt Tebbe. Aaron Sternke edits and mixes the show. You can check out his work at aaronsternke.com.
We'd love to hear from you. To record a question or comment for us, go to gravityleadership.com/message and click the Start Recording button.
You can also email us at podcast@gravityleadership.com. Catch you next time.